may the words of my mouth and the meditation and reflections in all of our hearts be pleasing in the sight of the Lord, our Rock and our Redeemer. Then Pilate said, "So you are a king." Jesus replied, "You say that I am a king. For this reason I was born, and for this reason I came into the world, to testify to the truth." Dolores Williams was a theologian and teacher at Union Seminary in the United States. She grew up in the South, and she remembers Sunday mornings in her church, and she would tell the story to her students at Union Seminary. The minister would shout, "Who is Jesus?" And the choir, don't worry, you don't need to do this. The choir responded in voices loud and strong, "King of Kings and Lord Almighty." Then, little Miss Huff, in a voice so fragile and soft that you could hardly hear, would sing her own answer back, "Poor little Mary's boy." Back and forth they sang, "King of Kings, poor little Mary's boy." Interesting. Who is Jesus? King of Kings? Yes. But she went on to argue with her students and to prove the case to them from the Bible that Jesus cannot be King of Kings without also as seeing him as poor little Mary's boy. And there's a kind of clash of images there, isn't there? For one of them seems to be big and powerful, King of Kings, and the other small and poor, poor little Mary's boy. And as the Gospels tell the story of Jesus' life and ministry, it becomes very, very clear, as we were sharing with the young church this morning, that this Jesus, the King of Kings, is going to be a very different kind of king. Consider, if you will, for a moment, all that will unfold in the story of his birth. Remember the wise travellers, and remember that one of them will bring gold, a seemingly very appropriate gift for the King of Kings. And yet the clash of images comes again, because the gold is brought to a little fragile baby in a dirty, smelly, cold cave, where poor little Mary's boy is laid in the hay. And as we read the unfolding story in the Gospels about Jesus, one of the things that we realise is that even his closest followers struggled to understand just who he was. Do you remember James and John? "When you get to your kingdom, Jesus, I want the seat on your right hand side." And they're struggling and arguing together about having a position of power and a position of authority. But you see, that hunger for power and position is replaced in Jesus' kingdom by a hunger for humility and service. Power and position pushed aside, in place humility and service. Indeed, a very different kind of king and a very different kind of kingdom. And in the reading that Alec brought to us from the New Testament this morning, another strange image about a king, because there he is in handcuffs standing before Pontius Pilate, the one who has the power to condemn him to death or to set him free. This Sunday honours Jesus as Christ the King. But very soon the story will turn again, and the religious leaders of the day will shout and say, "We have no king but the emperor." And it came to my mind in preparation for this morning that this Sunday, more perhaps even than other Sundays we celebrate through the Christian calendar, this Sunday calls you and I to stop again and to reflect on who we think Jesus really is. And not only who we think he is, but if he really is King of Kings and Lord of Lords, what does that mean for us, his followers? In the sentence immediately after where our reading finished this morning, Pilate will make a very famous statement, or he will pose a very famous question. He will say, "What is truth?" And the question is left hanging in the air. Was he being sarcastic? Was he really searching for the answer? What is truth? But you see, the answer was not going to be found in any words or in any statement of faith. The truth was the person, Jesus, standing in front of him. Indeed, Jesus himself would say, "I am the way and I am the truth." Not caught up in statements of belief, in complicated words, but in the person of Jesus. That's the one we read of at the beginning of John's Gospel. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." And then those famous words, "And the Word became flesh and lived amongst us." The truth is a person. The Word made flesh, the Word Jesus come to life amongst us. And literally those words mean that Jesus came to pitch his tent among people of earth. I was in Glasgow on Friday of this week. And of course it was Black Friday, which is not the best day to be in Glasgow. And I don't know what your reactions are to all of this Black Friday advertising, to everything that's been bombarded through adverts and so on. But there was a strange moment as I stood at the top of the Cannon Street. You know where the statue of Donald Duras, right, just in front of the concert hall? And when you stood just over the brow of the hill there and looked down the Cannon Street, as far as the eye could see, there were people shopping. It was, you know, just a sea of people. And I walked down Buchanan Street. And as I walked down through this sea of people, there at the side of the road, at fairly regular intervals, were people begging. Some of them wrapped in duvets. One of the most alarming ones was one where somebody was sleeping and someone else had obviously decided to take some kind of cup of juice or coffee or something and kind of throw over the top of the person, and they were all wet. And I'm standing there and I'm thinking and I'm looking and I'm saying, if Jesus is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and if we are the people of his kingdom, how are we to live in this confusing world? How are we to live differently so that we're not sucked in to the way of the world and the values of the world? Because you see, this different kind of king had very different kinds of values. He was the kind of king who said, the first will be last, and the last will be first. Now that's not how it works in our world today. He was the kind of king who went and had his dinner in the houses of those whom the religious establishment considered to be dirty and unclean and unwelcome. And to people just like that, Jesus said, I'm coming to your home today. So if this is the different kind of king that you and I follow, then surely that has something to say to us about our values and the way that we live our lives and spend our money and respond to the trends that are going on around us. That's not to say by any means at all that we should be Scrooge-like or Grinch-like. Life is hard enough. But it does challenge us very deeply, I think, about how we live and the people that we are, because we follow a very different kind of king. Today, we would see this different kind of king if we were to open our eyes and look. We would see this different kind of king amongst the terrified and starving women, men, and children in Yemen at this time. UNICEF reports that at least one child dies every 10 minutes in Yemen today because of malnutrition and preventable disease. We've been in here nearly 50 minutes. We would see this Jesus, this very different kind of king, amongst those homeless men and women on the streets of our cities, in Buchanan Street in Glasgow, and wherever we happen to notice them. And indeed, in a couple of weeks, the moderator of the Church of Scotland and many groups from different churches will spend a Saturday night sleeping out rough as a way of campaigning along with the Social Bite charity to say that in this day and age, this simply is not right. We would see this Jesus, this very different kind of king, amongst those in our world and in our community and in our families, robbed of their dignity by disease and illness. We would see Jesus alongside prisoners in their cells. This past week, as well as being Guild Week, has been Prisoners Week. And Prisoners Week is organised as an initiative of various churches aiming to help us remember those who have committed a crime and been locked away from society. And I came across these words that were written by a prisoner. Some say that I'm a narcissist, that I'm dangerous and violent. I say I'm a young man who made bad choices. Some say I'm a waste of space and I'll never change. But I am determined to change and become a loving parent. Some say I am hated. I say I am a child of God. Where will you and I see this Jesus, this very different kind of a king? And I wonder if, like the religious leaders of his day, we will actually be offended to see Jesus where he might be. Because in some ways, we don't really want to have anything to do with those kind of places or those kind of people. What kind of king, I hear you ask, What kind of king, I hear myself ask. Will I pledge allegiance to this strange and different king? Will I choose to live as he calls me to live? He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, robed in majesty and light, the King of Kings who gave up the glory of heaven to pitch his tent here in our midst. What kind of king will you and I pledge our allegiance to? Amen. And thanks be to God for his word. As we reflect on that word, we bring our own.